You want to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. It seems like everything is just kind of tossed about, and there's no real stability outside these walls, outside this book, and it just seems like everything out there is unstable and unrighteous, unholy, and unbelievable sometimes. And I want to talk about that a little bit today because the world doesn't have an anchor point. The world has anchor points. The anchor to this for a while, the anchor to that for a while, the anchor to this belief, to this goal, to that goal. And I'm afraid that in 2022 and for the past several 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe 60 years, Christianity's kind of, well, what they call Christianity's kind of been that way. But we don't really have an anchor point. We have anchor points. You know, this is what, you know, my goal today, my goal tomorrow, this is my goal for the future. But I want to look a little bit about what the Bible shows and tells about just being right. Just being right. And we'll read down through here by the grace of God in Ephesians 4, several verses here. But let's go ahead and pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we love you and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the folks that showed up this morning, Lord. Those folks that prayed and are expecting something and wanting something from you, we expect something from you, Lord, because you're good. And we want to be better for you, and we want to glorify you. And I believe you answer those prayers. Lord, make us to be more like you today. Help us change our hearts for your honor and your glory, Lord. We ask that you would help us to filter through the filth and garbage and confusion and perversion of the world and find that anchor point you want us to have today. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the world doesn't really have that anchor point that we have. We have an anchor. And that anchor is the Word of God. Capital W, it's Jesus Christ. And the words of God, the Bible. And, you know, the world wants to try to explain it away and even say folks sometimes attack it and say, well, you know, we really don't have the Word of God. You know, we've got some ideas and some precepts, but we have the Word of God. God has given us what He wants us to have in an English Bible right here, without error. Amen. And you know how it has to be without error. You know why? Because this represents the spotless Lamb of God. And if you're not representing the spotless Lamb of God with the spotless words of God, you're representing the wrong Lamb. The Bible warns against receiving another, following another spirit, another gospel, and another Jesus. And that's happening all over the place. Even saved people do that. They do. They're saved, they're going to heaven, and they're following another Jesus. Because they don't know what the book says. They don't know what the truth is. They don't have a firm anchor point. And that book is our anchor point. Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, is our anchor point. When you go to, Brother Mike and I go fishing every once in a while. We didn't do so good the last couple times we went, but we had a good time. But when you bring the boat into the dock, you've got a place to anchor it to. Well, you know it's there, but you have to actually find it. You have to be able to see it. And you have to be able to put your hands on it so you can anchor to it. If it was just a fairy tale spot up there, a make-believe spot, we couldn't anchor our boat to it. We'd probably be fishing forever. Amen. But you have to be able to identify the anchor. You have to be able to get a hold of the anchor. And you have to be able to trust that anchor. When we tie that boat off, we're trusting that that anchor is going to keep that boat right there. And when you tie off to Jesus Christ, you can trust that He's going to keep you right where He wants you. If you let Him. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning in verse number 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up above, far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We have an anchor point, and it's this book. The world is expected to be tossed to and fro. The world is expected to be confused. It's expected to be perverted and messed up and unholy and unclean and unrighteous and unstable. That stuff is to be expected of lost folks, but it should not be for God's children. It should not be. And I want to look at about maybe seven things as we go down through these verses. And the first thing, and we won't read them all probably, but 1-6. Well, I believe we will. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The first thing I want to talk about is the goal. Our goal. We have an anchor. We are anchored into heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ, trusting and calling on the name of Jesus Christ. And we have an anchor in this world where we don't have to be confused. We don't have to be messed up. We don't have to be going the wrong way. We don't have to be wondering what's going to happen. We don't have to be trying to figure out what's happening all around us, because we know ultimately we're going to be called out of here. We're going to heaven, and we're going to spend an eternity with Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to fear the things that are going on in the world. We have an anchor. Our goal is unity. Amen. We have to be anchored to the same point to have unity. That's why if you've been born and raised on a NIV or RSV or NASB or whatever V or whatever they have out there, it's not your fault. But when you come in here, you're going to be confused about some things. Because if you're not hearing the same words that are preached out of the Word, you got a different anchor. And if you're not trying to unify, to glorify Jesus Christ, you've probably got a different anchor. He's our anchor. The goal is to unify in Christ, to become more like Christ, so we can glorify Christ. That's the goal. And look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "But in every one of you, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." The goal is to unify, to glorify Christ. The grace comes from Christ. You'll notice later when we go down through here, we're talking about, well, actually, we just read about it, forbearing one another in love. What's forbearing mean? Putting up with each other. What do you do when you put up with each other, biblically speaking? You show each other mercy. And you show each other grace. Because that grace we're talking about, that grace that is in Christ Jesus, that grace of God is shown right there. And that again is the mercy and grace of God. By His mercy, we didn't have to go through what Jesus Christ went through. And by His grace, He has given us what only Jesus Christ could deserve. A home in heaven to live forever with God Himself. So I'm having a hard time getting along with him or her or the other. You know what? It's grace. That grace that God has given you, He does not expect you to hide that under a bushel like the light, amen? He expects you to give that grace to other people. That mercy that He has shown us, He expects us to give that mercy to other people. And if you're real careful when you read the Bible, you're going to find out that you need more grace and mercy than you realize. Not just from God, but from other people. Because the more you read the book, the more you realize who you are. And the more you realize who you are, the more you can identify problems you have instead of just everybody else's. Amen. We're easy and quick to identify everybody else's. But when you're reading the book and you're truly seeking something for God, He's going to show you who you are. And when you realize who you are, it's a lot easier to put up with who other people are. Because we're not that different. We're not that different. You might get on somebody's nerves that somebody else doesn't. I might get on somebody's nerves that you don't. It's just the way it is. But eventually, if we're around each other long enough, we get on each other's nerves. Because we're people. And God wants us to show that mercy and grace. The goal is to unify and focus on Jesus Christ, become more like Him, to glorify Him. The grace is how we approach that. We learn how to show the mercy and grace of God. We learn how to try to love like Jesus Christ and understand what He has actually given us so we can be a blessing to others and help others get closer to Jesus Christ. In 8 through 11, He goes down through and He lists these gifts. And you get to verse 11, a lot of preachers like to stop here, and He gave gifts, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, and that's good stuff right there. The apostles and prophets, you know, He started the church, the early church, with the apostles and the prophets. The prophets were pointing toward it. The apostles were doing the signs and wonders, and then He gives evangelists. We still have evangelists today. They go around and try to help churches out. Pastors try to lead the church by the grace of God, in the will of God. And, you know, the thing is, I do believe, you know, what people preach about this, that these things are a gift to the church. I believe that. But I think what we really ought to understand out of these verses, He's going down through and He's talking about giving gifts unto men. And when He had apostles, He gave them the gift to perform signs and wonders. And they were supposed to use that gift to glorify Him. And you're talking about prophets. He gave them the gift of prophecy, and they were supposed to use that prophecy to glorify Him. And many did and were rejected. And then when you're talking about evangelists, they're supposed to use that gift. That's a gift given directly to that evangelist to be a blessing and give that gift to other people. You're talking about pastors and teachers. God gives them a gift, and that gift, you know, there are good preachers, there are bad preachers, there are indifferent preachers, but the preachers that are in the will of God are good preachers. Amen? Just because you think their preaching's better than somebody else's doesn't mean they're a good preacher. Because our flesh can be deceived.
Amen. They can get up there, boy, and have the I's dotted and the T's crossed, and boy, they could be spewing out some lies, and you just get flowing with their flow so good, you don't even realize what's going on. You're taken in by the Hollywood part of it, and you're taken in by the showmanship. You're taken in by the education, and the truth is, God used donkeys to talk to people, and He'll use anybody that gets in His will, and anybody that gets in His will, preaches His word, preaches it gun barrel straight, that's not afraid to say what God's called him to say, he's a good preacher. I've heard preachers get up there and spit and scream and just leave drool all over the place. Boy, bang that pulpit. They're good preachers. I've heard preachers get up there and just read the Word of God like this and say, this is what happened when Noah, that God shut him in. And I've seen people cry and flood that altar and that guy's up there and then God called Noah into the ark. And it just like that. It's not the preacher. It's not the preaching style necessarily. It's the power of God. Power. You can work some things up, but the power of God can't be worked up. How do I know that? I read the Bible. They were trying to work it up in the Old Testament in front of Pharaoh. Well, they could do a little bit, but they couldn't do what God did. Amen. But the gifts are given to the apostles. They were given to the apostles, given to the prophets, given to the evangelists. They're given to the pastors and teachers. But the gift, the calling of God to preach, is a gift He gave me to allow me to serve in that ministry. Whatever your ministry is a gift He gave you. And whatever gifts we have, we're supposed to use to glorify Christ and to help each other. Learn to love Him more. And by the way, when you learn to love Him more, you love each other more. Amen. See, I'm talking about a local New Testament church. When I'm talking about an anchor point, I'm talking about a local New Testament church full of Bible believers. I'm talking about the fact that we have to have the goal of unifying to glorify Christ. We have to have the grace of God to show to others. We have to understand His mercy and grace. And we understand that whatever gifts we have doesn't make us special. It makes Him special. And whatever we do with the gift determines whether we're in His will or not with the gift. If we have this understanding, then we get to 12 and 13, and verse 12 and 13 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then you have growth. You know what happens when you have growth? A church that's growing toward Christ will have one head. Amen. You know, preachers say, and this is true, that, you know, a lot of Southern Baptists or some different churches are run by a deacon board, several heads. Or they're run by the pastor and the deacon board, and they have two heads. And the pastor says, you know, and I like the saying, you know, two heads a monster and all that, two heads, anything with two heads a freak and all this stuff. But the truth is, the pastor's not the head of the church either. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Now see, if I understand the goal, the grace, the gifts, and I'm growing toward Christ, I'll understand that. Well, if you understand the goal, the grace, the gifts, and you're growing toward Christ, you'll understand that. I heard Pastor Sal say a long time ago up in Toledo, and it was funny, really. He says, my job's not to run the church. My job's to keep you from running the church. Amen. Because you know what everybody wants to do? Everybody wants to be God at one time or another. They want the accolades. They want somebody to pat them on the back and say, good job, good work, good work. And you know what? Two-thirds of the time, and it might include pastors two-thirds of the time, they don't even pray about it. They want to do something to help the body of Christ so they can get the attaboys. And the truth is, you can pray, show up, read your Bible at home, develop your relationship with Jesus Christ, and God will give you the attaboys later. Amen? God will pat you on the back at the judgment seat of Christ. He'll say, hey, well done, now good and faithful servant. Wouldn't that be something? Instead of going, man, I understood what you were doing down there, and I know you were doing it for the wrong reason, because you were trying to get the glory, and the glory is mine. So that ball of wax that we're going to melt down is going to equal nothing. Amen. You wanted to pastor the church. You wanted this to be your ministry. And I'll tell you what, I'm not preaching down to you. I'm talking to me too, because if this is my ministry and I'm the head of this church, this is going to be a mess. God's never going to show up. He's going to leave. He ain't going to come back. He'll be outside the door going, hey, what about me? But it's not just the preacher. Every person in the church has to realize the goal, the mercy and grace, the gifts. The gifts are given to you so you can glorify God with them. Not about you, not about me. It's about Him. And the growth, growing toward Jesus Christ. You put all these things together, you start to grow toward Jesus Christ. When you realize who you are, you realize who He is, and you get a hold of Him, like Brother Jerry Gard says, used to say all the time, he said, grab a hold of Jesus with both hands and hang on, amen. And that's what you got to do. You got to grab a hold of Jesus Christ and hang on. Look at 14 through 16. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Isn't that something? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We've seen the goal, the grace, the gifts, the growth. Now we see the grounding. What are we grounded in? We're not tossed to and fro. We're grounded in truth. We're anchored to truth. We're grounded in Christ. We're anchored to Christ. Because it's all about Christ. Is anybody in here irreplaceable to God? No. Christ is irreplaceable. You can't substitute anybody for Jesus Christ. Hey, God could take me home before this message is over, and He could fill this pulpit without even thinking about it. It's about Him. It's about Christ. It's about everything that's done, not just inside these walls, but in your life. As a member of the body of Christ that He has given gifts to, glorifying Him. We don't get that anymore. People don't understand it anymore. You know what the problem is? 17 through 19. We're supposed to be grounded in truth. 17 through 19 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Isn't that something? You know what the problem is? You say, well, Donald Trump was a Republican. That was the problem. Joe Biden's a Democrat. That's the problem. No, the problem is greediness. It's selfishness. And greediness is not just about money. You know, when God talks about greediness, oftentimes He's talking about people that are greedy for glory. You know what most men want? They want glory. You know why Putin's trying to run over a country full of innocent people? A lot of them are born-again believers, and he ain't going to stop there. He's got 3 years to not stop. Why? Because the alleged leader of the three free world's not stopping him. And I don't care. I don't hate Biden. I don't hate Trump. I want him to go to hell. I want him to get saved and do right. But the truth's the truth. I don't care who's doing it or who's not doing it. I asked God a long time ago to let me see things the way He sees things. As a pastor, that's what I want to do. And I found out something. First, for a long time, I got sick of me because He started showing me. I'm just being honest with you. If you ask Him, He'll show you too. But when He started showing me around the world, when I started talking to people and witnessing to people, I started seeing things differently. When they rejected Him, I started seeing things differently. When they laughed and mocked, I started seeing things differently. Everything that's going on around the world, I started seeing it different. You know what I realized? It makes God want to puke because He gave me the same feeling. It doesn't give me just indigestion. It makes me want to throw up. But do you know the thing is, saved people ought not to make God want to throw up. But I guarantee you it happens. You know how I know? I got a Bible. You know what He says in Revelation 3?
The church of Laodicea, which is the spiritual age we're in right now, he says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. My kids, we used to get those chicken tenders and that stuff. You know, you ever get a chicken tender, you know, buy the frozen ones or get one from wherever. I never had a bad one from Lee's Chicken, don't get me wrong. And I could overlook some things at Lee's Chicken because their chicken is good. Line's too long. We used to get these chicken things and, you know, we get them and the kids would eat them. And one time, one of the kids found one of those gristly little balls in there, and they spit that thing out, and they'd never eat that chicken again. Hey, when I want a good piece of chicken, I don't want no gristly eyeball in there. I want a piece of chicken that's chicken. You know what God wants? He wants something that leaves a good taste in His mouth. You know what He's going to do with this church? I'm talking the church age of Laodicea. Spew it out of His mouth because they leave a bad taste in His mouth. I don't want to leave a bad taste in God's mouth. I don't want to. Not only don't want to upset Him, I want to please Him. He said, well, you always want to please Him. No, sometimes I just want to please me. I'm just being honest with you so you know you're not in this alone. But I want those times to go away. And they will one day, forever. It'll all be about pleasing Him. But I want this church to please Him. I wish this world would have pleased Him. I got some sad news for you. That ain't coming back, by the way, until Jesus Christ comes. I don't care what any preacher says. That ain't coming back until Jesus Christ comes back. But the greediness. But if you want to obtain the goal, you want to live like God lives with mercy and grace, you want to understand the gift and apply it correctly, you want to grow, you want to be grounded, you want to get past the greediness, which is selfishness, by the way. Look at 20 through 24. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We see the governing force. You know what he's saying? It's Jesus Christ. It's His Word. It's that Bible. It's His Son. It's His words. The governing force that can allow us to reach that goal, to show that mercy, to show that grace, to utilize our gifts for His purpose, to grow to be more like Christ, to be grounded in truth, and not be greedy and live our whole life and waste it on ourselves. The governing force is following the Spirit of God, which is Jesus Christ's Spirit, which is God the Father's Spirit, because they are one. And these words are spirit. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. Say, boy, I just want to live for Jesus. Well, you better get in that book and anchor to that book. Hey, look, I'll tell you what. I'm mad. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of sin. I understand why the doors behind this thing were broke when I got here. Because sometimes I like to kick his pulpit plumb through those front doors because I'm so sick of sin. And I can't get my hands on the devil. If I could, he'd kill me anyway. But I just wish God would fix it. I'm tired. And look, I want to try to be a blessing to anybody I can be a blessing to. And I will do anything I can to help anybody that truly wants help. If there's any way I could give them something from the Bible or pray for them or anything, I have no problem with that. But I am so sick and tired of watching the devil destroy families. I'm so sick and tired of watching him destroy children. I'm so sick and tired of what he's doing to our public schools. I'm so sick and tired of what he's doing to marriages. I'm so sick and tired of what he's doing to churches. If you want a compromiser, you got the wrong guy. Because by the grace of God, we're going by this book. And we're going forward to please him. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a member of Gateway Baptist Church and you have no desire to please God and you have no heart to change that way, maybe you got to go mess the church down the road up because this church is going forward. And if you're not reading your Bible, you're a mess. How do you know? I've tried it. Doesn't work. Because everything you're getting outside of that book is garbage and filth and confusion and perversion. Let's start down here at the bottom. God created all of it. Everything that's good. Man perverted all of it. Hey, listen, I don't care what year it is. I don't care what the politicians say. I don't care what the psychiatrists or philosophers say. I don't care about Freud and Descartes and all those goofballs that wanted to be God and wanted to show you how smart they were. If you were born with male genitalia, be a man. If you were born a woman and be a lady. Now let's back up to the men for a minute. Be a gentleman. You don't have to be a girl to be a gentleman. Jesus Christ was a gentleman. You know what the gentleman did once in a while? He got upset and run people out of the temple for doing the wrong thing. But he was a gentleman. The woman at the well, he didn't say, "Oh, you nasty hoe. Ebonics there." He didn't say that. You know what he said? "I'll give you living water." You know what he wants to do to everybody in this world? Give them living water. Amen? I'm sick of it. I don't care what they teach anywhere. I don't care what any preacher preaches. I believe that book. We're not moving away from that book by the grace of God. As long as he gives me air and it's some kind of a mind that works, and I'm reading that Bible and he'll and you're praying for me, we're not moving from truth. I was talking to folks the other day. Oh, we got 300 or 400 in our church. They got services for everybody. Well, if you don't like real preaching, we got some fake stuff at 11:45. If you don't like to have your toes stepped on, well, how about this? We could have patty cake service at 12:42. Come in for milk and cookies at 1:15. No. God's not in that. You want milk and cookies? Go home. Go to your kitchen. Get milk and cookies. Go to Kroger. Go to Walmart. Kroger, wherever. We're not changing to meet the world. We're supposed to be changing to be like Christ. I don't care if 10 people are in this church going the right direction. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I would rather have that than any amount going the wrong direction. But I'm telling you, I love you. I'd do anything for you. If you've got sin in your life, you don't want to get rid of it, and you have no desire to get right with God, you have no desire to be right with God, you have no desire to know yourself better by reading the book and knowing him better by reading the book, maybe you ought to go mess the church down the street up. Amen. I'm just saying. I'm not pointing at anybody. We're here to be more like Christ so we can glorify Christ. You can't glorify Christ in the spirit, in the flesh, in the spirit of man. You can't do it. It's the Spirit of God that lives in you that allows us to give him any glory. Our job is to get out of the way. So what's that mean? Don't let selfishness, greediness mess things up. I'm not a dictator. I never come across as one. I don't think. Matter of fact, there are things that I'm not making a statement on the old guy. The old guy was probably a great man of God. I don't know the guy. Never talked to him. But we have changed some things in here that I believe are better, and some things are probably not as good. I don't know. But when we vote, and we vote on carnal things, like money for toilet paper, or money for kitchen stuff, and all that stuff, or if you guys vote me out after this sermon, whatever, that's one thing. But there's nobody in here, including me, that runs this church. Or ever will, by the grace of God. I make mistakes. I chew on my shoe every now and again. But I want to please him. And if I upset you pleasing him, so be it. If I upset you because I made a mistake that went against what would have pleased him, then I have to change it, I apologize to you. But if I'm preaching the truth and it upsets you, it is what it is. It upsets me sometimes. Amen. No boy said if the cat's going the wrong way, turn the cat around, right? If you're rubbing the cat the wrong way, turn him around. But the goal is to glorify Christ. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of sin. There's no reason God should want to spew a church out of his mouth. There shouldn't be a reason. I don't want to be that reason. You know, God still deals with local churches. The church age as a whole makes him sick. And it makes me sick. We're not adding 15 services so everybody can be happy. We're going to have one so everybody can be right. If you're praying for me, and I'm praying,
and we're getting something from God, you can be right. And being right don't always make you happy. It'll always give you joy. It'll always give you peace. And you'll always be right. But happiness is fleeting. You know those people that go to church service number 4 on Sunday? Because they get their latte and their patty cake or whatever they get there? That's over when it's over. It was just like going down to the coffee shop. Because God don't come in and start cleaning their heart out. They just get to go to a worldly place and do worldly things and enjoy worldly friends so they can go live their worldly lives. That's not church. And let me tell you something, that's not Christianity. It breaks my heart that we have to preach about what Christianity is. Because nobody understands anymore. Christianity is being Christ-like. Real men love Jesus. I agree with that. Do you know what else I agree with? Real men and women love like Jesus. And when he saw somebody that he could help, he helped them. And when he saw somebody going the wrong way, messing people up, he chastised them. Amen. Real men and real women love Jesus, and they love like Jesus. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Help us to obtain and attain to that goal of glorifying you, unifying around your word, anchored to your Son. Lord, that we could glorify you forever. Not just in heaven when we get there, but today and every day. Lord, you have been so good to us in a wicked and perverse world, in a wicked and perverse nation, in a wicked and perverse age. You have given us truth and allowed us the opportunity to seek it out and to be in the middle of it. Help us to be in the middle of it. Help us to be right in the center of your will and bless this church. Breathe on this church. Use us. Use us in a mighty way for your honor and your glory. Lord, we ask that you would bless everybody here, give them safe travels home, and Lord, that all of us would have a desire to get right with you, be right with you, stay right with you, walk right with you, so we can end right with you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.